On episode 451 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Paul Gerard Frank and discuss his book, The Pro-Aging Playbook, Embracing a Lifestyle of Beauty and Wellness Inside and Out. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/451. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Real Paper. A year and a half ago, my wife and I moved to Bocas del Toro, Panama. It has opened our eyes to many things that you don't get exposed to in the United States. One is how much waste we humans create, and another is how impoverished people often live in unsanitary conditions. Real Paper is a company that's working on both of these issues. Real Paper sells toilet paper made from 100% bamboo, which grows faster, requires less water, creates more oxygen, aka less greenhouse gases, and doesn't require replanting after harvesting. Yes, sustainable toilet paper is available for you now, conveniently shipped for free to your home. Not only is the toilet paper sustainable, all of the packaging is as well. There's no plastic. You hear that? That's the plastic from the last pack we purchased at the grocery store. Living on an island, we're in a constant battle with plastic. It's everywhere, and it takes decades to decompose. Real Paper is also working to tackle the sanitation problem by providing composting toilets to impoverished communities. That's another thing I was introduced to here in Bocas. You can take something that would otherwise be unsanitary and spread disease, but when you treat it properly, you can take it and make it something useful, fertilizer. Real Paper has partnered with a company to do just that. I often joke that my health and fitness vision is to be able to wipe my own butt at 105. If I have any say about it, it'll be Real Paper on the toilet roll. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/TP and use the discount code 40PLUS, that's 40PLUS, to get 25% off. We must begin treating the earth better, and you can do it by going to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/TP and get 25% off with the discount code 40PLUS. Thank you for supporting the show by checking out this wonderful company. Rachel, how are you doing?
Great. How are you, Alan?
Doing really good. I'm excited to have you on as a new co-host to the show. So everybody say welcome to Rachel.
Well, hi, and thank you so much. It's an honor. I've been your biggest fan for quite a while, so it's a real treat for me. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, Rachel and I have been friends for a good long time. We met through my wife, and one of the cool facts about Rachel and her husband, Mike, is that their birthdays are exactly one day apart, So they're celebrating for a full 48 hours every year. It's pretty cool to be at one of those celebrations, especially when you're there at midnight with them, when it crosses over.
That's
and
right.
I forget, you're actually one day, your birthday is the one day before.
I'm the after.
You're
I'm the
after.
Younger one.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Mike's
okay.
The old man.
Okay. Yeah. Mike is the old man. Although he's lost a lot of weight and he looks years younger. Well, cutting off the beard helped too.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yeah.
All right. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, he's been working real hard this year. He's been putting in a ton of miles. His running's been epic, and it's led to a ton of weight loss. He's been doing real great.
So how's your week been?
Good. Little nutty. The kids are back to college. So I've got one in college and staying at college, and my other one is home doing the online classes. So it's been kind of crazy. Although they do their own thing, they're getting set up for in class and online learning. It's just been kind of nutty with all the COVID procedures that the school has in place, but they're doing great.
Well, good, good. I've been focused on my miles. I talked about in an earlier episode that I'm doing my famine season. And I started actually June 1st. I think in the episode, I may have said May 1st, but I've actually lost 25 pounds as we record this since that start June 1st. And it's basically, you know, using ketosis, intermittent fasting, and just enjoying good long walks, getting sunshine, watching, looking at the beach, and listening to some audiobooks and podcasts. So, you know, I think I've done 27 miles this week.
Wow.
You know, and unfortunately my run keeper fell out on me. Apparently when I stopped to take a picture or selfie, it decides, oh, he's stopped. I'm going to just pause this here. And if I don't remember to reset and start it. So you get down the road and you're like, I don't hear my little lady telling me how I'm doing.
And, that's right.
And then I realize I just walked 2 miles without her telling me anything. So now that's not going to show up. So my winning my championship or my fastest 10-mile walk or whatever is just not going to be on that app. So that's a frustration. So now I started a spreadsheet. So I'll keep up with it myself, damn it.
Awesome. Yeah. Technology, it's so awesome, but it can also be just as frustrating.
It can be. So let me introduce our guest today, okay? Our guest today is one of the most famous and successful cosmetic dermatologists in the world, often called the beauty guru by his celebrity and international patients. Renowned for his minimally invasive techniques and holistic approach to cosmetic rejuvenation and age management, he is regularly featured as a skin and aging expert in local and international media. As a board-certified dermatologist, he has lectured around the world and has authored several articles on both consumer and professional literature. He is a clinical assistant professor of dermatology at the Icahn School of Medicine in Mount Sinai Hospital. With no further ado, here's Dr. Paul Gerard Frank. Dr. Frank, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Hey, how are you?
So I got your book, and I was really glad to have an opportunity to read it because as I get into my mid-50s, aging has become this this thing that I pay a lot more attention to these days. The book is called The Pro Aging Playbook, Embracing a Lifestyle of Beauty and Wellness Inside and Out. And I have to say that your approach to this is really refreshing because sometimes, you know, you think, okay, this guy makes his living by making people look and feel younger. That's what this book is going to really be about, is just let's sell some more plastic surgery. But yeah. it was absolutely not. And I was really, really glad to see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I've been doing this 20 years now, and I find the way to predict the greatest cosmetic result has to do before you even do the procedure. It's just in the talk and getting a feel of someone's perspective and feeling about aging and all the other things they do. So to me, what I've learned most in 20 years is not how to use the syringes and the lasers and all the things, but the most impactful thing is to learn how people think about aging and how I can help them think about it and then give them all the wonderful options we have now. It's not a bad thing, aging, is it?
Well, no, but if you do it right.
Yeah, if you do it right. I mean, listen, we weren't meant to live probably past the average age of 30, you know, up until the last 50 to 100 years. So I think if we start with the idea that aging is a blessing, I think that's a good way to find ways to become the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, and this is you pulling out your psychology degree and using it because it really does help here. And one of the things that I think as I've gotten older, I've become much more aware of the words that we use and how that impacts our feelings, our lives, our emotions, our successes and failures. You prefer to use the term pro-aging versus anti-aging.
Yeah, and you know, anti-aging, that's a word that immediately has a negative connotation. And, you know, it was created as a marketing tool, right? Where this is started back decades, generations ago with selling creams and lotions and potions and things that are anti, as if aging is a bad thing. And I think starting out from that type of perspective is that type of negative thinking that we were just talking about. I think pro-aging makes people feel more positive. It makes it look like less of a chore and more of something that you can embrace. And hopefully I could teach people how to live a lifestyle, a pro-aging lifestyle, to bring all those things together. And we're lucky now. We live in a world where we have so many options, not just to keep us alive, but to make us look and feel good.
Yeah, so go a little deeper into when you say pro-aging, exactly what that means.
Well, I think it's a culmination of a lot of different things. Again, people think of the word anti-aging, they think of like creams and procedures and all these things. But when I think of pro-aging, I'm thinking of a lifestyle that involves a lot of forms of grooming. And to me, grooming can be exercise, the way you choose your meals, the way you choose your friends and the people who are positive and negative in your world, and how you choose lasers to get rid of sun damage, or if you choose lasers or other surgical procedures or things like that. Pro-aging is really a culmination of grooming techniques. And, you know, I think one of the things I'm noticing more since when I started in like the late 90s is that because of technology and the access across socioeconomic groups, and because of the technology that's less and less invasive, these things are becoming so much more acceptable. When I was a kid, only rich people had gym memberships, let alone had facial plastic surgery. And now the younger generation looks at joining a gym, having a nutritionist, having a life coach, getting a little Botox. These are all forms of grooming. They're accepted. And to me, this is all part of the kind of pro-aging lifestyle that I think people are now, you know, embracing and breaking those anti-aging stigmas that they used to have, that only ladies that lunch do procedures, or, you know, vain people do these type of things.
Yeah. Now you use this title for the bad things we do to ourselves that involve aging maybe faster, or at least looking older than we are. When you use it, I immediately in my head had this concept of this legion of doom, you know, these evildoers, these terrible, the anti-heroes, you know, the villains, and you called it the extrinsic evildoer of aging, evildoers of aging. And I was, like I said, when I read that, I was just thinking, you know, these are the bad guys. These are the guys, the villains that we have in our lives. Yes. Can you talk about who these extrinsic evildoers of aging are?
Well, listen, smoking, drinking, excessive sun exposure, all these type of things, not moving, not eating right, fatty foods, you know, these are like the evildoers of aging. We all know that these things are bad for us. But I try and relay through my personal story. I'm 50. I'm in my 50s too. I'm 50 years old. I wasn't an angel. I was young once. I used to lay in the sun and drink more and do all these different types of things. And, you know, you change your ways if you want to feel good as you age. Otherwise, if you act like a 20-year-old at 50, you're not going to come out too well. I always say, if I want to look and feel my best, I act like an old person. When I try and act too much like a young person, I don't feel or look that good. But these evil doers of aging, let's say drinking and smoking, for an example, you know, we know they're bad from us. And I want to teach people how to moderate them. I give my personal story. You know, I think a life of total restriction is a very boring life. Not eating good foods, not having a martini every once in a while. But I do believe that you could feel good and look good by finding a healthy balance. And as we get older, obviously, those limitations may be becoming a little restrictive. What society sells you is that there's always a pill, a cream, a shot, a coach, or something that's going to be an antidote to all those things. And the fact of the matter is, the best way to treat yourself is just to learn how to moderate those evildoers, to not bake yourself in the sun. Doesn't mean you have to hide from the sun. So I think this balance, instead of selling people what they have to buy, teaching people how to moderate and minimize these things and teaching them about the science and how it makes aging, I think works in teaching people how to live a better lifestyle.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Fastic. Before we had refrigeration, processing, and bulk transportation, we just didn't have access to food like we do today. Because we're opportunistic eaters, most of us consistently eat more than we should, and our bodies don't know how to signal to us that we've had enough. I practice intermittent fasting regularly, and it's a strategy many of my clients use to get control of food, and as a happy side effect, lose weight. Fastic is an app you can download on an Apple or Android smartphone. It's a pretty snazzy app with a lot of tools to help you do intermittent fasting right. It not only lets you track your fasting, but water consumption, steps, and a lot of other things. You can also connect with a fasting buddy to help keep you even more accountable. If you have an iPhone, go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/iFastic. That's IFASTIC. For an Android, go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/AFASTIC. AFASTIC. If you're interested in learning more about intermittent fasting or just need some help getting started, go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/ifastic for an iPhone or 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/afastic for an Android phone. You know, one of the things that you got into that I thought was really interesting was, you know, we want a rule, and I think people like simple stuff. And I can give them one rule out of this is no smoking. Just don't do it.
There's no moderation in that.
Yeah, there's no moderation in that one. But, you know, when we start talking about sun exposure, I'm like, well, a little bit of sun exposure is good for almost all of us. And for other people, even a little more is even okay. How does someone decide for themselves the right way that, okay, this is my line. This is where this makes sense for me and this doesn't.
Well, again, I try and talk to, because a lot of dermatologists are just like, no sun, wear sun protective clothing. I can't do that. You know, dermatology is one of the few fields in medicine where we really have to judge people by the color of their skin. And, you know, certainly anyone with a family history of skin cancer, I'm going to be more restrictive about. But people who tan easier, what we call type 3 skin, type 6 skin, or like African-American, type 4 or 5 is like Hispanic. You know, type 1 and 2 skin are the fairest of people, like the blonde hair, blue-eyed type. And those are the people that have to be more restrictive. But by the way, those people don't ever tan well, and they never look good that way. You know, the darker skin types, the J-Lo's, you know, they kind of tan well. So again, sitting people down and giving them a realistic. And by the way, anyone with sunscreen used appropriately can enjoy the outside. There's no reason why they have to hide. I feel that way about martinis and beers too, by the way. You know what I mean? Not all people have the same tolerance level of alcohol. And by the way, smoking, as bad as it is, the studies show, you know, people are like, oh, I've been smoking my whole life. There's no point in quitting now. By the way, a person who's been smoking a pack a day for most of their life, if they quit smoking in 10 years, their risk of cancer goes down to almost that of a non-smoker. So, you know, there's hope. That's a positive thing for people to make changes in their lives. And that's kind of what I want to help people do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you said something in the book that made my heart sing as a personal trainer. You said the number one thing you can do for pro aging, longevity, and beauty is to get moving.
No question.
Okay. And I love that, obviously. So can you give us some tips so that we can put some more movement into our life?
Yeah. You know, and my examples for myself, I mean, I like to work out 4 to 6 times a week, but you know what? It's not that 45 minutes a day that may make all the difference. It's taking the stairs instead of the elevator when you have the opportunity. It's like taking that walk instead of jumping in the Uber, which, by the way, functions as meditation, which functions as exercise, which functions on catching up on phone calls with friends and communication to your environment. It's just, it's choosing sometimes the path that involves movement. And, you know, in a world where everyone's looking for a convenience, quick time, I think the best time that you could spend is just moving your body.
So in the book, you did share some fairly specific tips as far as, you know, as we're going through how we can make this, I guess, a little bit more regular. And I think, you know, a couple of them that you shared that I really liked, and you actually got into this a good bit in the book, is about negative self-talk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, when we're younger, we look to make as many friends. As we're getting older, we're looking to make as many professional social connections as we build our life and career. We all start off very naive and potentially influenced by people. You know, that's why our mothers, they want us hanging out with the good friends, not the bad friends. And we have to realize, I have 2 children. I'm constantly trying to screen who they spend. Do I know their parents? Do I know the kid? Do I think it's a good kid? We have to look at ourselves in the mirror every day as our lives. And we have to learn how to filter people, the content. And that's not just on our social media feed. It's on the people we spend our time with, trying to spend our time around positive people. Because negative thinking breeds negative thinking. So do negative people. And I find myself, I started doing transcendental meditation 7 years ago with my wife. And it really taught me how to filter things in my own mind and try and surround myself with things that are going to be, they're going to promote positive things in my life. And I think that's the most important tool that we can constantly think of.
Yeah. With, you know, one of the other things you brought up when you were talking about movement was you were being very clear that it doesn't have to be a gym, but, you know, in a lot of cases, I kind of compare and contrast that against what you just said is, you know, surrounding yourself around other people that are positive and into it. You know, if you can find a group class, a Pilates or something like that, that you enjoy doing, by all means do it, you know. And as we're recording this, obviously a lot of gyms are not open. A lot of classes aren't happening. But they will reopen. They will come back. And as they do, you know, finding that thing that works for you, you know, be it surfing, be it, you know, running, be it lifting, be it going and doing a Pilates class. I think that's all very, very important.
There's something out there for everybody. And that's kind of what I tried to say. You know, I try and tell people, you know, it's great getting word of mouth. Like, oh, I just tried this new workout app, or I tried SoulCycle, I did this. It's nice to get word of mouth to kind of get you to try new things, but people need to realize there's no one thing that works for everybody. There just isn't. And your expectation, sure, we like the communal aspect because it pushes us. I was always a big SoulCycle person. It just works for me. And you know, it's nice to be pushed by your environment, but you have to realize you have to find kind of your own way. And this is all about balance. And this is true in every aspect.
And you know, I think just to go deeper into that, one of the things you said in the book is you really didn't consider yourself an athlete as a child. But as soon as you strapped roller skates, because your parents bought some roller skate rinks, boom, there you were every weekend.
And, you know, and again, that's probably one of the reasons why I liked SoulCycle too, because it involves dancing in a form of exercise. You know, I'm not, my club days aren't so strong these days. You know what I mean? Hitting the dance floor until 2 o'clock in the morning is not that much of an option for me. But being around music, being inspired by other people, sweating around other people, and feeling that endorphin rush, that's what we all want. That's pro-aging. You know what I mean? Yeah. And what's great about, you know, you want to find things that you can age with. Swimming, tennis, walking up and down stairs, taking walks. Cycling, you know, not everybody could box till they're 70. Some people can. And I think, you know, I have yet to find a laser or device that works for aging like exercise does.
Yeah, boom. So. That's important. That's important to hear. So, you know, you're 50 and obviously someone that, you know, is in this profession. So, you know, looking your best, aging your best, that's kind of a part of who you are now. It's just, it's ingrained in you, 20 years in the career. What is your pro-aging regimen? What does your day look like?
Well, my day starts with meditation. Got to reset. You know, I'm a person, I do sleep 8 hours a night, and it's mostly because if I get less than six, I'm not fun to be around. Like, you know, I'm not one of those people who can get by in 4 hours of sleep, like some people claim. I like to sleep well. I meditate. I usually spend a little time with the family because it's the only time I get when my head is clear is really the morning. And then after that, I exercise every day because again, after a busy day, I'm not going to get to do that at night. And then I hit the pavement and, you know, I'm kind of on stage all day. I can see anywhere from 20 to 40 people go through my office every day. And I'm obviously got to be on point for a lot of different people and a lot of different personalities. I try and have as much fun as possible. That's kind of my rule as I've done this 20 years is to like keep it fun, keep it light. And usually at the end of the day, I don't got that much left into me. You know, if I do have a work dinner or something like that, or I go home to the family, but the meditation, the exercise are the prerequisite. In terms of food, you know, again, I don't tell everyone to follow my technique, but I'm kind of not by choice and a daytime faster. I graze. I have a little things. I maybe have like an avocado or I have some nuts or I take a bite of my sister runs my entire professional life. So I could dip into her salad or take a few bites of her sandwich if I want to without offending her. And then I have my meal of whatever I want at night. And on the weekends, I love to cook and I love to eat and I like to indulge. And that's really it. And before you know it, you turn 50.
Yeah. And then you know, 60 and 70 and then on.
70 and that's it. You know, I try and, you know, my life, I fortunately have a very successful career with a lot of challenges and a lot of rapid growth. So I'm constantly trying to remind myself about the people and the things, like keep it positive, keep it simple, because the world wants to complicate things. It wants to sell you more, it wants to do more. And a lot of things seem exciting, like growing your business, right? It's an exciting thing, but guess what? So, constantly have to keep it in check. Is it going to give me more pleasure? Is it going to give me more headaches? You know, and it's not easy. You know, I'm not always great at it. Catching COVID and having 13 days of 103 fever and having problems breathing and having to be on home oxygen, that kind of put things a little bit more in perspective for me to check myself before I wreck myself. So I was very nervous about the pro aging playbook coming out of Mount. Of course, I started writing this way before COVID. I was nervous about, oh my God, a beauty and a wellness book. But you know, I actually reread it from beginning to end right before the book came out in the with a COVID mind. And I'm excited that it came out now because a lot of it is just about the psychology of life. So,
yeah. Well, beyond that, I mean, you know, one of the things that we're finding with regards to COVID and the risk is just, you know, how well you've managed your fitness, your health, yeah. Your all of it. And if you're suffering from some health issues, obviously you're not pro aging at this point. You're in decline, and this is a wake-up call to all of us that taking care of our health is really the only thing that's in our control. We can't control what goes on at work. We can't control what's going on in the street. We can't control a killer virus that, you know, ravages the country. What we can do is control ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people said to me, they were so shocked because, you know, on my social media, I kind of became this poster person for COVID. Your cosmetic dermatologist has become the poster person for information for COVID. They said, but I don't understand. You're so young and healthy. I said, well, I'm glad everyone thinks 50 is young. That's a great start. But I said, well, I don't think of it like that. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I got it. I do such things to take care of me. Maybe if I didn't take such good care of myself, I would have needed hospitalization or intubation or been one of those young people that died. You know what I mean? So I look at it the other way. Like, thank God I was in good shape. So, you know, again, you got to keep taking care of yourself. And along the way, we might as well look good.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you know who Tony Horton is, the guy who did P90X.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I had him on the show, and he went through shingles at the age of like 60, 61. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, it would have, for what it does to a lot of people, you know, him being generally fit and healthy, he's weathered it really well, but you know, it really does kind of speak to me again. We don't know what's going to happen, and if we're not taking care of our health, then you know we're setting ourselves up for something worse.
Listen, you can invest money in the stock market. You can invest money in your own business. You can invest your time and energy and money in a lot of things. But there's one thing that is a guaranteed return on investment, and that is yourself. And that is whether you're exercising, eating right, doing something that makes you feel good about yourself when you look in the mirror. Everyone has a good hair day. I don't care how not.
You haven't seen a picture of me.
No, but everyone has a picture that you prefer themselves over another one.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know, just having a little sense of vanity doesn't mean you're narcissistic. And I think any investment in yourself, not for other people, in yourself, is a 100% return on that investment.
Yeah. Just for the record, I shaved my head. When I started receding, rather than do anything about it, I just went with it. And it's been the best decision. Yeah, it's the best decision I could have made. It really is.
That's it, man. That's keeping it simple, stupid. That's the rule of KISS right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Frank, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Well, we talked about a couple of these. We talked about movement, moving your body. For me, also meditation, and then investing in family and friends. Those are the three starts. All the other stuff comes once you have those three things in check.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Frank, thank you for being on the show. If someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about your book, The Pro Aging Playbook, where would you like for me to send them?
Well, you could send them to my website at pfrankmd.com, or they could check me out social media, Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, which is at Dr. Paul Jared Frank.
Okay. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/451, and I'll be sure to have a link there. Dr. Frank, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much for having me. Talk to you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Dr. Frank was a really cool conversation. And I know we've been talking about aging a lot, but you know, with me being approaching my mid-50s, it's a topic I think about a lot. So maybe I've seen too many books about aging. We'll go off onto some different topics in a bit. Although I think our next week's episode is also going to be about aging, but it's kind of a different approach. So we'll talk about that later. So Rachel, Raz, why don't you take just a few minutes to introduce yourself, let folks know who you are and why you're here.
All right. Well, hi, Alan. Nice to talk to you again. My name is Rachel, and most of my friends call me Raz. It's a childhood nickname that I've had. And once you get to know me, it just seems fitting. But most people call me Raz, and I'm 49, which is why I've always been a big fan of your podcast lately. I'm over 40 and like to be fit. And I've recently finished my NASM certification. I just got my certificate to be a personal trainer, so I'm pretty excited about that. Like I said, I'm 49. My husband Mike and I have been married for 25 years, and we just celebrated our anniversary this last summer, which was great. And we both have we have two kids that are in college, just starting off this next semester. One's at home and online learning, and the other's moved to campus. And so we're just hoping they stay safe in this COVID era.
Now, one of the reasons I thought that Rachel would be a great guest for the show is she is a huge advocate of running. In fact, anywhere Rachel goes, if there's not already a run club, there will be one.
Yes. Yes, yes. Running has been a huge part of my life. I've been running consistently for over 20 years, actually. And it served a different purpose at different times in my life. But everywhere I have traveled, and we have traveled quite a bit, we've been in contact with different run clubs in different areas. And it's really a great way to meet friends, especially when you move as often as we have. And I have some amazing friends that we've met down in Florida, including you and Tammy, your wonderful wife. And it's always a great way to get to know the city as well, while also staying healthy and fit. So yeah, I've got a pretty big running background. I've run too many 5 and 10Ks to count. I'm up to over 30, closing in on 40 half marathons. I've done 4 fulls, 2 ultras, and this year I was supposed to be running another ultra as well as my first 50 miler, but COVID shut those races down pretty early. So this year it's just about running miles and enjoying the time outdoors.
Yeah, I've been trying to put on some more mileage, I'm not running right now. No one's chasing me, and so I enjoy the walk. Plus, you know, for me, it's not a function of time. I set my own schedule pretty much here. So if I want to get out and walk for 3.5 hours, I'll go do it. And we have some beautiful beaches here. So the kind of the cool thing is the further I walk, the better beaches I see. So it's like start out the public beach is not all that pretty with the seaweed and everything, and the water is just not all that pretty. Once I get to 2 miles, I start seeing prettier beaches, and I get to 4 miles, I start seeing awesome beaches. And so by the 6th and 7th mile, it's just breathtaking, the Bluff Beach and things that are here for me to see. So it really kind of pushes me when you're walking in one direction that far and then you know, okay, well, I've got to walk back. So it's nothing for me to put on 10 miles on a day, just wow, to get out and do a long walk, 3 hours, nothing major, just listening to podcasts or audiobooks or things like that. And then when the batteries die on my headphones, then I get to listen to the surf.
So, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So you did go for the NASM Certified Personal Trainer. And I can tell folks, having done it myself, actually I took that test twice, not because I failed it, but because I messed up on my recertification. I had to take it again. It's not a joke. It's not this just easy go study for a weekend and then go take a test. It's like a college level course with a comprehensive final. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a little bit more intense than I thought it would be. And even after 20 years of running, and believe me, I do a ton of reading and researching on all things fitness related, I still learned so much from this class. It was really in depth. And I can't wait to put what I've learned to good use.
Well, good. So as you can see, Raz is the runner. Raz is also female. And I am neither of those. So, you know, I think we're going to have a good rounded conversation as we go forward. So I invite you to come back, catch Raz and me as we discuss the different things that we're getting into with the podcast, with life. So if you have questions, you know, feel free to send them to us. You can send them to Alan@40plusfitnesspodcast.com. And Raz and I will take a round of responding to some of those in this final section of each podcast. So Raz, thank you for being here today. Thank you for being a part of the podcast. I'm really excited for the direction we're going and just really excited to be working with you.
Oh, thanks, Alan. Thanks for inviting me. I'm looking forward to this new opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Cool. All right. So next time on the 40 Plus Fitness podcast, we're going to meet Sharky Zartman and discuss her book, When at Aging. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.